We've just finished the lesson using the coaches God has given me, and I'm wondering, where are these coaches? I don't seem to hear anyone speaking these kingdom truths.
Look, I think that question is born out of maybe a lack of understanding that God is sovereign.
Mm.
And God said he'll give you everything you need,
mm.
which means if God's true and he's going to give you everything you need, you have the mentors and coaches you need. Maybe you just don't realize it. Now, for Natalie and I, though, that sometimes that was an audio tape or a book. Living Life God's Way has been our mentor for 22 years, 23 years.
Yeah.
So when you say I don't have the coaches and mentors, you probably mean I don't have them the way I'd like to have them. And we all would like to have them live down the road and see them all the time and be in fellowship all the time. The reality is that may not happen. But God has given you coaches and mentors, and the fact that you're asking the question means you probably have them. It's just, what are you doing? How are we showing up to our coaches and mentors? What are we prepared to do to follow our mentors and teachers?
How do we recognize who our mentors and coaches and teachers are?
And it's always who God's joined us to. So the fact that we're all joined together doing Living Life God's Way study is God's sovereign design. Now, what are we supposed to do with that, and how do we show up?
And I think we can't discount the books, the audios, the resources that we've had access to over our time as a believer. But I feel they've mentored me. I feel they've coached me, you know, in an indirect way through what they have, in obedience, taken the time to write down in time past.
I would say we've been reading as a couple and as a family Normal Christian Life by Watchman Nee.
Yeah.
We've never seen Watchman Nee, we've never met him, but he has had such a profound impact on our family for, again, 25, 26 years since we've read that book.
Yeah.
So I think we do have it. We may not have it in the form that we would like, but again, it's the scripture says he'll give you everything you need.
And look at who is around you and be confident to be led by the Holy Spirit and ask for help. And if the person you ask for help from isn't the person who can help you, perhaps they'll direct you in the right way. Mm. And I think the biggest problem we have when we say we don't have the coaches or the mentors we need is perhaps we're not really ready to receive them yet.
How can we avoid responding to our hurt with revenge or gossip?
Well, we have to discipline ourselves. We have to read the Word of God and read what it says about gossip, about slander, about revenge, about bitterness. And then we need to be obedient to the Word of God and discipline ourselves. And it will not happen naturally, because the natural state of the garden is weeds. The natural condition of my heart is fleshly and sinful. And the only way that that is going to become a practice discipline in our lives is for us to practice the discipline. And it's very seductive. Gossip and slander and vengeance and resentment, they are a very seductive enemy of our born-again creation. And we must recognize that. And we have got to discipline ourselves daily to walk out that way and live that way and hold each other to account.
It starts with being conscious.
Mm.
Being conscious that without significant effort, that will be your natural response.
Mm.
And so now I have to consciously train to do something different.
Mm.
If you think that you're going to be different because you've heard the audio or read the book, that's not going to happen. You will be different when you obey the Holy Spirit, when you hold your tongue, when you take the time to process. But that, as Natalie said, that's going to be hard work. That is the work of training.
Absolutely. You know, one of I was talking to somebody in the last week, and one of the biggest things around this resentment and this vengeance and gossiping is that we try to, our fleshly nature tries to recruit people for for our side, recruit people to the way we think about a situation, recruit people for our hurts. And we just cannot allow ourselves to be part of that fleshly and that spiritual deception. And we must wake up and recognize that we're doing that. And when we see somebody else doing it, we've got to actually have the courage to go, hey, you know what? I know what's going on here because I've been part of that as well. Let's stop this conversation now, this gossip, this betrayal, or this resentment, this vengeance. Let's stop all of this now. Let's pray and let's keep our hands and heart clean before the Lord.
Tell us what's going on in your heart right now.
Yeah.
Because the vengeance, the anger, the frustration,
the gossip,
they're all masking that we're hurting.
Yeah.
And we actually need to take that hurt to God and let Him deal with it.
Yeah.
Rather than taking it on ourselves and get our justice. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord.
Mm.
Now that's really hard to handle. So if you see someone, as Natalie said, what's going on? Where's your heart? Let's stop this conversation because there's no value in it.
Yeah.
How about you?
Yeah. But remember to first begin with yourself.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
How do I judge righteously without becoming judgmental?
Oh, that's really
good. Yeah, that's a great question. So look, there's a number of ways to answer that question, so I'm going to give you a couple of ideas. First off, are we judging for someone? As in for their benefit? Are we trying to bring something into God's alignment and it's going to bring life and prosperity to the people we're doing it? Or are we doing it in a way that's going to make us feel good, which is just another way of saying revenge? So first and foremost, why are we judging? Are we judging because we want to bring life and God's alignment, or are we judging for selfish reasons? Look, and I think there's another really important principle. And for those that were with us last in 2023, we did the study around our two natures, our redeemed nature, our born-again nature, and our flesh nature or a sinful nature. If we understand that judgment, personal judgment, is against our fallen nature, then it makes it really easy. Because there is nothing good in me. And actually, my flesh, the only thing that's good for is death. And this life is about constantly taking up our cross, taking our flesh and putting it to death, and maturing our new creation. And so judgment is just judging my flesh. So, and our ego, my ego gets in the way all the time. So when Natalie brings something to me, it's very easy for me to defend. But what am I defending? There is nothing good in me except what Christ has done. And so Natalie is never bringing judgment about what the Holy Spirit's done in my life and the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Never. She's bringing judgment against where I'm acting out of my flesh, which she should. And I should accept it. And when I don't accept it, that's my flesh response as well. And so if we understand that judgment is against the flesh nature, and if you're talking about judging a brother in Christ or a sister in Christ, then we should all rush into it. We should all rush into being evaluated. Just the same as if it was a sport. If we went to a golf coach and he never gave us any feedback, we wouldn't be really happy about spending $100 an hour for coaching. We want him to tell us where our flesh, our habits, aren't working and giving us the best golf swing. So why wouldn't we want that level of coaching against anything in our life on a spiritual side?
And this is so important in raising our children, because the biggest hiccup that happens between a parent and a child is the child's ability to receive feedback and the parent's ability to give feedback in a biblical way. And when we can train our children to realize that they are going to have a lifetime as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ of receiving feedback where their flesh needs to die and the maturing of their new creation in Christ Jesus, it will, if you start that process when your children are young, hopefully by the time they're teenagers, this isn't a battle that you have to fight through any longer. And, you know, I've done it both ways. I've done it where I raised children into teenage years and didn't have that level of consciousness, wisdom, mastery. And I've done it where I did. And it definitely produces a different fruit in the child. And I think it produces a different fruit in a marriage, because I'm able to listen to David and get feedback from him without having to defend myself. And it produces a different fruit in our children when they see this, they're able to actually listen, and rather than us just have to go after them and speak into them, they're actually asking the question. They're seeking that feedback. They probably are aware of what needs to be judged before you even have to bring it to them. And that is a good and holy and wonderful blessing to have in your life.
Look, that was fantastic. That's me. That was absolutely fantastic. We really appreciate the questions. And I think the questions are revealing a real heart to how do we make this real? The purpose of these sessions are we're trying to share how we've tried to make it real. There's lots of people that have made these things real, but please keep sending the questions. Please keep investing. Write those questions down, and as a family, work through them yourselves as well. Because the more we understand the patterns of God, the truth of God, the freer we'll be. And God bless you. God keep you. Bye.